That is a great bumper, isn't it? Would you stand with me this morning as we read the Word of the Living God? Two verses for you to ponder this morning, this Christmas morning. Well, the season of Christmas, let's say. Don't want to rush you. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5 says, "But when the fullness of the time came," when the fullness of the time came, "God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons," or children. Romans 5:6 says this, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Timing today is going to be our thoughts. The timing of God. Father, we come before Your throne this morning. We welcome the name of the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, the presence of Jesus in this place. We come, Lord, this morning as those that are all on a journey to meet and know and follow Christ. We have many questions, O great Rabbi, Creator of heaven and earth. We ask, Lord, that Your Spirit would be upon us this day, and that, Lord, that Your glory would shine in this place. We pray this for your glory and in Your most holy name, in the name of Jesus. And all those who love the Lord would say, amen. Amen. And y'all may be seated. So, do you have your Christmas trees up yet?
Yep.
How many of you still are waiting to put up your Christmas tree? A few of you still are. Wow. Okay. Well, we put up ours, last week, and then we put up Cindy's mom's over on Friday. And I don't know if this is your story, but it always is with ours. Whenever we putting the tree up is one thing, but then putting the decorations on is a walk down memory lane. Am I right? Because as soon as you're putting up certain decorations, it takes you back. And we have written, like on some of ours, like our son's first Christmas or something like that. And there's always tradition. In our family, Dad puts up the surfing Santa. It's tradition. Dad, surfing Santa, and I get to go place this one on the tree. Now, here's the cool thing, and just think about this. Your Christmas tree is a family tree. And we came up with this idea last year. We're going to have, next Sunday when you come to church, there's going to be a huge tree out in the courtyard. And what's going to happen is not this. A week from tonight, on a Sunday night, we're having a tree lighting service here at Woodbridge Community Church. And the idea is this is our church family. And so at this one-hour service, it's going to go, I think, from 5 to 6. I think that's right. We're going to be singing. We're going to be having hot chocolate and marshmallows and cookies and this and that and the other. And we're going to, the choir's going to be singing. We're going to be singing lots of Christmas carols. We're going to be, the children are making ornaments that they're going to be putting on the tree. And we're going to invite you. I'm going to ask you, hey, you guys, is there like an ornament that maybe you'd want to make? Or maybe there's something that's like special in your family. And you're like, I want to just come and this is my church. And I want to hang an ornament that this is my church family. And it's just going to be a really cool service a week from today, right? So it's 5 to 6. And by the way, Santa is coming. Santa is coming. Don't just get rid of all rumors you've heard that it's not Santa, okay? So, and it's going to be a really, really fun tree lighting service next Sunday night from 5 to 6. And just want you to be thinking about that. It's like, you know, we all, God bless our families. This is your family. And this is an amazing church family. And so we're going to be having an awesome time next Sunday, December 15th. Bring an ornament. The kids are making ornaments. Make an ornament you can hang on the tree. There's going to be a special song we'll be singing and people just putting ornaments on. It's going to be great, okay? So that's what's going on. How many of you are planning on being there? Right? It's going to be cool. You got to come. It's going to be amazing. So, here's the story for you. And every time I think of this story, I start laughing. About, maybe 5 years ago, about this time, I was here at the church. It was late, and I was running to go get some food because I had to come back to the meeting. And I went to a restaurant that's over by the CVS, over by Big Five. You guys know where that is, off of Alton. You guys know what I'm talking about. So, you know, I'm getting out of the car, and I'm walking up, and there's these lights, and there's a police car, and there's these two guys sitting on the ground, handcuffed. And they don't look very happy. And so, you know, I come walking up, and I notice one of our detectives is there, a really cool guy. I'm good friends with him, and we had many great Jesus talks over the years. And as soon as I started smiling, I walk up, I go, his name's Sean. I say, Sean, what's up with this? He goes, Chaplain, he goes, my buddy and I were walking, we called, you know, dinner break, and we were just walking here to get some dinner. And as we parked our car and we're walking up, these are plain clothes detectives, okay? These two guys come running out of the CVS store stealing a bunch of alcohol. And right behind them is someone saying, we've been robbed, we've been robbed. And so Sean goes, Chaplain, I just let the guy run right past me. I grabbed his jacket and threw him to the ground, handcuffed him while my other buddy got the other guy, and, you know, here they are. And he goes, Chaplain, you might want to pray for these guys. And I looked over at him, and I got a glare from them. They were just not happy. Like this. Okay? And I decided, nah, I'm just not going to pray for them. I'm going to go get dinner, you know? But what I loved about this is it's just the perfect timing, right? What perfect timing. If there was ever perfect timing, this was it. If the world could just be like this every day, right? And it made me think about timing. It says in the scriptures that when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, it was at the right time. The fullness of time. The perfect time. Is God's timing perfect? Is God's timing good? All of us are on a journey, right? I asked a lot of questions before I became a believer in Jesus. I asked a lot of questions. After I became a believer and a follower of Jesus, I've asked a lot of questions. I'm still asking a lot of questions. Is it okay to ask God questions? It is, right? Think of Mary and Martha when they're like, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother, he didn't get mad at them that they were saying your timing stinks. And in their perspective, it did. But in God's perspective, it was perfect timing, right? If you've ever read about Lazarus and the purpose of Lazarus' death and just exciting all of Jerusalem. It's okay to ask questions. Here's the deal. A few years ago, when I was in Israel, leading a tour in Israel, I was asking questions. And I was thinking about these verses. At the right time, at the fullness of time, at the right time, Christ came. And I began asking the question, what was so great about 2,000 years ago? Have you ever asked that question? So I'm a history major in my undergrad, so you gotta bear with me. We ask, okay, Lord, one big timeline of humanity's story, and you're saying at this time was the perfect time, the fullness of time for the Son of God to come into the world. This morning, I want to share with you answers to my questions. When I was asking God, why? What's so great about that time? As I began asking the question and began researching the question, I began being absolutely blown away by the wisdom of God. Have you ever just been blown away by God before? Have you ever like kind of questioned him at some point, you just go, he's brilliant? Because as you journey and ask Jesus questions and he begins giving you answers, you're going to completely be blown away with the Almighty. Watch this. The last book of the Old Testament is called Malachi, okay? In the fourth chapter of Malachi, it ends. And if in your Bibles, you read Malachi chapter 4 and you flip the page and it says the New Testament. And you flip the page and it says the Gospel of Matthew, and the words say the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. This flipping of these two pages is a flipping of 400 years. Theologians call it the intertestamental period, or the 400 years of silence. The 400 years when God sends no prophets, no visions, no dreams, no miracles per se. It's just silent. It's like God speaks and he goes quiet. And then, all of a sudden, Jesus shows up on the scene. What happened during those 400 years in which God was preparing the world for his son? Hate to do this to you. Here's a picture of a Thanksgiving meal. I know that you're going to eat in a little bit, and you're probably already, I don't know if you had breakfast or not, but how many of you 2 weeks ago had a Thanksgiving meal? Did you know that somebody had to wake up real early that morning to cook that turkey? True. While you were sleeping, someone was cooking. In order to prepare a turkey, someone had to get up and prepare it. And I'm thinking about this. Sorry about that, by the way. What was God preparing for 400 years with Christ and the coming, the perfect time of Jesus coming? I want to give you, and take notes with me this morning. I was cooking up this sermon in Jerusalem about 5 years ago because I'm asking questions. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. I can list the amazing timing of Almighty God. I'm going to give you a few of them this morning. Take notes of me this morning. What was God cooking up during 400 years to where it became the perfect time for Jesus to come on the earth? Take notes of me this morning. Ready? Five amazing things that happened. Number one, what was God preparing? Check this out. God was preparing a common language. A common language. Have you ever tried to speak with somebody that doesn't speak your language? It's tough, isn't it? You do a lot of hand motions, you talk slower, you know, right? Common language. During the 400 years of silence, God was cooking up a universal language in the Mediterranean world so that the message of his son Jesus and the birth of the church would spread fast when he came. Does anyone know what the language was? Anyone? Real loud. Say it really loud. Greek. It's Greek. It's all Greek to me, as we say in seminary, right? Greek. Studying the Greek language. Who spread the Greek language? This guy did. Has anyone ever heard of a dude named Alexander the Great? Right? Alexander the Great was born in Greece about 356 BC. He was, by the way, tutored by Aristotle until the age of 16. And he succeeded his father, which is called Philip of Macedonia. That's where you get the book of Philippi from, right? And he came on his dad's throne. Now, the problem was that his dad, they were fighting a war with the Persians. Has anyone seen the movie 300 and the Spartans of Persia, right? Right, right? Well, Alexander goes to war. And this guy was pretty amazing. Here's a picture of his empire. Not bad, by the way, when you look at it. Because by the age of 30, he created one of the largest empires of the ancient world, stretching from the Ionian Sea to the Himalayas. He was undefeated in battle, and he's considered one of history's greatest, most successful commanders. His empire stretched from Greece to Pakistan. And when he did this, he spread what's called Hellenism. Do you guys remember your Western Civ? I'm taking you back, right? Western Civ? Hellenism. Greek culture and the Greek language. And wherever he went, there was all these different languages, but the language of his empire was Greek. Greek. The whole New Testament was written in Greek. It was a common language that everyone spoke. God, think about it. It says at the right time that God, at the perfect time, at the fullness of time, His Son came. Well, what was so great about that? What was God cooking? He was cooking the Mediterranean world, the world at that time, to have a common language. What else was He cooking up? By the way, that's important, right? Already you should go, that's kind of a big deal. How does a message spread if people don't understand the language you're speaking it? A common language, a universal language, was huge 2,000 years ago. What else was God cooking up? Take this down. A time of peace in the world. Write that down. The time of peace. Is the turkey done yet? Nope. Let it cook a bit longer. Peace. A time of peace. From Alexander the Great until 27 BC, there was war, and then war, and then more war, and then there was war, and then there was more wars and wars, and all of a sudden the Romans came up, and the Romans started finding Carthage, and there was a great war in the Mediterranean, and finally they beat Carthage, and then the Romans warred against themselves, and there was a great civil war with the Romans between Mark Antony and Cleopatra versus Caesar Augustus, right, and all these, and then finally Caesar Augustus wins, and there was a time when the Roman Civil War ended, it was called the beginning of a time of peace. Pax Romana. Peace. Peace. All of a sudden, peace hit the world. Peace hit the world. Peace. It was established by this guy. Caesar Augustus. Augustus, not Julius. They killed him in the Senate, right? March 15th. Caesar Augustus all of a sudden gets the whole Roman Empire in peace. And by the way, it's his idea to number everybody in his kingdom after these wars. He wants to know how many people are in his empire, and so he sends out a decree. And he says that every person has to go to their homeland to be registered for a decree. And what does that do? Poor Joseph tells Mary, who's pregnant, well, you got to travel, sweetheart, because we need to go to Bethlehem from Nazareth. He's the guy that sets Luke 2 into play and Jesus fulfilling the scriptures of Bethlehem. The Romans. Here's a picture of his empire. It's not bad, right? Peace, Roman roads for easy travel, freedom of the sea lanes where people could go back and forth, absolute, complete, total peace. Isn't that beautiful? What was God in His... God says at the right time, at the fullness of time, Christ came. And you go, what was so great about that time? And then you start researching, you go, you know what, not bad. By the way, this is important. The Romans have a different form of capital punishment. Does anyone know what it is? Moses' day, the Jewish custom was stoning. But the Romans, their form of capital punishment is crucifixion. Take note number 3, a specific form of capital punishment is brought in by the Romans, which, by the way, fulfills Scripture. Listen to this, Isaiah 53:5. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. Do you hear that? And by His wounds, or by His scourging, we're healed, by His stripes. That's Isaiah 53, written 700 years before Jesus was born. Zechariah 12:10, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. And they will look on Me, the one they have pierced. And they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. They will look upon the one whom they have pierced. The Jewish people pierced the Messiah? This was written hundreds of years before Jesus is born. The capital punishment is crucifixion with the Romans. God is cooking up the world for the coming of His Son. And here are the Scriptures speaking of being pierced, talking about crucifixion hundreds of years even invented. How do you explain that? The Bible's just a book. Someone asked me the other day, why do you believe in the Bible? Why do you believe in God? You know what my answer was? Because it's true. That's not bad, right? It's true. That's why. God's timing, right? This one's important. I was thinking this one. Around the Sea of Galilee, I kind of came up with this one. What was God cooking up for the perfect timing of Jesus? Do you know there's 12 tribes of Israel, yes? At the time of Jesus, how many tribes was in Israel? 2. Where was the 10 tribes? They're all scattered. Write this down, a dispersion of the 10 tribes of Israel. God dispersed 10 tribes. And during the birth of the church, Paul went everywhere traveling during this time of peace. And where did he go? When Paul went from one place to another, where did he go, people? Synagogues. He traveled into the Turkey and he would go into Galatia and he'd go to the synagogue in Galatia and the synagogue in Capernaum and the synagogue in Ephesus and the synagogue in Thessalonica and the synagogue in Corinth. And the Roman world, there was Jewish communities scattered everywhere. Dispersement centers. And everywhere Paul went, during this time of peace, and during this time of common language, during the time of Pax Romana, peace in the world, right? Everywhere Paul went, he went to the Jewish centers and began preaching Jesus. They were like centers waiting. They had been already scattering the seed into the Mediterranean world about monotheism and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And here he is, and God's doing this. It's the perfect timing. Do you see He's seasoning the world, right? Think of cooking. Is God smart? How did these Jewish communities get there? They were dispersed. What was so great about the coming of Christ at that right time? A common language, peace in the world, fulfillment of how this... You can't separate the cradle from the cross, can you? Why does He come? He comes for you. And we'll talk about that in a second. God disperses and sets this up, these centers, and Paul goes everywhere. And the church is just spreading. Perfect time of spreading. Number 4 is the disbursement of the 10 tribes. And number 5 is awesome. God prepared the second temple in Jerusalem to be completed. Here's a great picture. Someday, for you to come with me to Israel, you'll see this. At the Jerusalem Museum, they have a rendering, and they call it the second temple period. The temple in Jerusalem. The first temple was built by Solomon. About 960 B.C., it was destroyed in 586 B.C. The second temple was rebuilt some 70 years later, around 516 B.C. But after 500 years or so, the second temple was in need of an extreme makeover, okay? They needed Chip and Joanna Gaines to redo it, okay? Fixer-upper, right? Type thing. And so, a guy named Herod... Great, he's also, right? Herod the Great begins rebuilding the temple. And it says, in the Gospel of John, it took 46 years to complete the temple in Jerusalem. 46 years to complete the temple in Jerusalem. Okay? Herod began constructing and doing that way before Jesus was born. And by the way, after Herod was gone, they were still rebuilding the temple. Now, by the way, has anyone been to Star Wars Land at Disneyland? Anyone? You know why they do that, don't you? Because once they make something new, they want you to come. And, right? It's an attraction. And it draws people. Think with me. The temple is redone in 26 A.D. 26 A.D. 46 years to complete. The Jews from all over, the Diaspora Jews, the Hellenistic Jews, are being told that this, by the way, was known as one of the prettiest buildings in the Roman Empire. One of the wonders of the Roman Empire. And it was done. Come. Come and see. Can you imagine being a Jew who's never been to Jerusalem and you're hearing the temple's done? And so you start coming. And you start coming during the pilgrimages. And it says like millions of Jews came, Josephus writes. And in 26 AD, as they come to Jerusalem, guess who they meet? The ministry of John the Baptist. Jesus is in his beginnings of his ministry. And the early church from 26 BC, or AD, I'm sorry, 26 AD, it's done. By the way, the temple's destroyed in 70 AD. The Jewish revolt against the Romans begins in 66 AD. 40-year window. There's a 40-year window of common language. A 40-year window of absolute peace in the world. A 40-year window where the gospel is spreading. And during this time, Jews are coming throughout the whole Roman world to visit the most beautiful temple, the most holiest site in all Judaism. And as they go there, they run into the ministry of John the Baptist. They go there 1 year for Pentecost or Passover, and they run into the ministry of Jesus. Or they run into the ministry of Paul and Peter and James and John. 40 years. Do this. Four. I'm talking thousands of years. There was a 40-year window where the ministry of the message of Jesus would explode throughout the Roman world. One generation. Think about it. Are you blown away? Because I am. When I read it, it says, and at the right time Christ came, I'm like, what's so great about that time? And then you look what was going on in the world, I'm like, this was the perfect time. Do you know what? If once a war breaks out in Jerusalem, that isn't going to work. From 66, the temple's gone. By the way, the temple held all the Jewish records of ancestry. Anyone into Ancestry.com? Anyone checked out your ancestry? The temple in Jerusalem held the ancestry of the Jewish people. That's why we read in the Gospel of Matthew immediately, here is the ancestry of Jesus of Nazareth. You could go and test that at the temple for 40 years. It says, remember last week's sermon? Luke said, after studying everything carefully, in Luke 4, he gives the genealogy of Jesus through Mary. Where did he get that? It was all in the records in Jerusalem. At the temple. At the temple. You could prove that Jesus was of the line of David. How many people in here have Jewish friends like I do? Can any of them prove what tribe they're from? If they say they are, they're lying. Because they have no clue what tribe they're from. Because all the Jewish records have been destroyed when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. For 40 years you could prove who the Messiah was. From genealogy. 40 years. The perfect timing for Christ to be born and come and his complete message, 40 years, and you could test it. If anyone came today and said, I'm the Messiah, How could you test to see if he's of the line of David? You can't. And this is what Sarah, our beautiful messianic guide in Israel, shares. Do you know how many Jews are living in Bethlehem right now? Zero. It's all Palestine. Through the geopolitical situation the last 2,000 years, no Jewish people live in Bethlehem at all. And the Messiah is supposed to be born in? How do you fix that? He's already come. He's already come. And we can prove him. His genealogy is recorded. Where did they get it from? The temple. The temple. What's God's message to you this morning? If you would just think a little bit about God cooking the world, preparing it for the perfect time when He would bring His Son into the world. At the fullness of time, it says, Christ came. And for me, I asked, well, what was so full about that time? And I began researching and asking. At the right time, God's perfect timing, Christ came. What was so great about 2,000 years ago? Why not 3? Or why not 1,500? Or 1,000? Or last week? Why? Hey, Lord, why? And you begin asking questions. And all of a sudden you go, that was the perfect time. As a matter of fact, there was just a really small... When we're talking thousands of years, a 40-year window is really small. Would you agree with me? Thousands of years, 40-year window. And God says, this is the window. That's awesome. God is smart. When you think about Christmas this year, and you think about the first coming of Jesus in Bethlehem, when you think about the timing of it all, I want you to know it was the perfect time for Christ to be born according to the Almighty, to the Sovereign One. The one who is the Creator, and you and I are the created. I want you to be in awe of God this morning. I want you this morning to go, God's smarter than me. God knows what He's doing. See, God is sovereign. And do you know what that means? And Rabbi Feldman, I said this last week. Here's a great definition of sovereignty. Are you ready? God can do what He wants, when He wants, how He wants, whenever He wants, without asking you first. Because He's God and you are. He's the created. He's the Creator and you're the... In Isaiah, God says this, and don't be offended by this. But God says this in Isaiah 55:9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than yours. Anyone get a chance to look at the stars lately? Don't be offended. But God just wants you to know that the distance between you on earth and the nearest, His thoughts are way more than that between your thoughts and His. God's smart. He knows what He's doing. I want you to let that sink in. He's sovereign. And His timing is perfect. His timing is perfect. At the right time, a common language. God creates a common language. God creates peace. And We humans war against each other all the time. But God just shut it down for peace. And traveling of free thought and roads the sea lanes are open. There's common language. There's peace. There's a dispersion centers throughout all the Roman world for the easy coming of the gospel. And God creates this massive Disneyland event, Star Wars in Jerusalem, and people were coming. There was this big attraction in Judea called the Second Temple being completed. It took 46 years to complete it. It was completed in 46 AD. And people came. And it just so happens that John the Baptist is down at the Jordan River saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand." Is that coincidence? During this time frame of the 40 years, it just so happens that Jesus is healing people at the temple, that Jesus is raising people from the dead, that Jesus, right? Or just at that time you've got Paul and Peter and James, the church is exploding. Is it a coincidence, people? You tell me. Coincidence or not? It's God. Say it real loud. 1, 2, 3. That was pathetic. Ready? 1, 2, 3. It's God. It's the Almighty. At the right time, Jesus came for you. Is God's timing in your life perfect? Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." What is God's timing for your life? That you would accept His Son. God's timing for your life is that you would understand Jesus and what He did for you on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin on your behalf, that you would be made the righteousness of God as He takes all your sin on Him. God is holy, people, and I hate to tell you this, but you offend Him in word, action, thought, and deed. You offend the Almighty God. He can't be in your presence. For you to be around Him, you would defile His holiness. So that's a problem, people. And yet God loves you and He wants you with Him. So He comes up with this. He will take your sins upon Himself and pay for them so you can be made holy and righteous, so you can be with God. God's timing for you today is for you to accept Jesus. If you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus, this is God's timing today. This is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Can you think of any reason why you should not accept Jesus today? Can you think of any reason why you shouldn't accept the blood that He dripped from a cross? He was pierced for you. Can you think of any reason why you would want to say, "Nah"? Can you think of any reason why you shouldn't accept Christ? Is there any better day than today? Is there any better time in your life than now to say yes to Jesus? Anyone? God is sovereign. His timing is perfect. God's will is that all of us in this room would understand His Son Jesus and why He came. Your need for a Savior, because you cannot be in, you will have a Christless eternity without Christ. And you don't want it, but you can have it. You'd have to step over His body to get there, but go for it. You get what you deserve. You accept Christ. I was 20 when I accepted Jesus. And I remember my first Christmas going, "Oh my gosh, I get it. This is amazing. God became flesh and dwelt among us. God walked on planet Earth. He became like me and paid for my stupidity, my shame and my guilt and my sin. I remember going, this is amazing. Santa Claus is cool, but without Jesus, Christmas is weak. Do I hear an amen? He is the reason for the... If you don't have the reason, the season's just pathetic. It's the most busiest time of the year. But it won't be holy until you meet Him. What's God's timing? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you accept His Son. Today is the day you receive forgiveness. Do I hear an amen? Hey, brothers and sisters. Can you think of any reason why today wouldn't be a good day to follow Jesus? Can you think of any reason why today isn't a good day to follow Him? For those of us that have said yes to Christ, but we battle every day on who's going to be the throne of our life, me or Him? You ever looked in the mirror in the morning? Do you want to know who the enemy is?
You.
It's the dude in the mirror. Is it my will or thy will be done? Can you think of any reason why this Christmas season wouldn't be a good Christmas season to say, you know, probably now is a great time to let Jesus become the Lord of my life? Can you think of any reason why it's not a good idea to let Jesus become the Lord of your life, to follow Him today? Is there any reason why you shouldn't follow the Lord today? Well, He might make me... Are you smarter than God? Timing. He's sovereign. He's really smart. He knows what He's doing. He calls you to His Son because He loves you. Jesus came for you to wash you clean of shame and guilt and sin before a holy God. God's message today is receive Christ. If you've never said yes to Jesus, today's the day. And if you have said yes to Jesus and you're fighting with Him, stop it. Can you think of any reason why you shouldn't follow Him today, brother and sister? Why not? Think about this. The worship team's going to come up. We're going to close this service with a great song. Oh, come to the altar. Oh, come to the altar. How you doing with the Lord? Are you fighting Christ? Between you and the Lord this morning, as we sing this song, I want you just to reflect on your life. And I want you to ask the Lord, God, are you pleased with my life? Is there anything in my life that needs to change? Is there anything in my life I need to give over? It's Christmas, people. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus. Think with me.